Hello and welcome to Football is Nice. On Football is Nice today, we're going to be reacting to Man City versus Real Madrid. Hopefully not in the way that Erling Haaland's father did by throwing stuff around. We're going to be looking at the forthcoming fixtures and making our predictions, talking about the forthcoming relegation battle, as well as responding to your comments. Like, for example, DHens32 or 321 says, how about you give us Yanks a quick rundown of how your football works. Do you have playoffs and some sort of championship system? Are there different leagues? Or do you just play randomly play each other in the hopes of qualifying for a World Cup one day? That's culturally insensitive, that, isn't it? They may as well have called us Limeys. Like, there are different professional leagues. There's that one that your very own Ryan Reynolds is in with his W Wrexham. Mm. And then there's top flight football, the Premier League, where there is relegation, unlike in many American sports.
The
division below is the Championship, where Gareth's football team, that are called Hull City, and on the top of that, they have to live there. That's where they play. And they do have things called playoffs there, where they can, like, the top two teams go up, and then there's playoffs between the next four teams to see which one comes up. West Ham occasionally drop down, the team that I support, into that league. And of course, the World Cup is between nations rather than these professional sports franchises, as you might call them, in your country. I think that's
nicely done.
Enough for now, isn't it, Gareth? Did you watch the Champions League semi-final, Real v Man City?
I did. I thought it was a fascinating game. I mean, ultimately, I think obviously people wanted more goals, but we had two amazing goals. I mean, they were both incredible goals.
Vinicius Jr.
Yeah.
I like him. He run around, doesn't he?
He does run around. He was immense yesterday, I thought. I think there's like some commentary that is he the best player in the world at the moment? Maybe he is. He was astonishing, I thought.
Him and Haaland, they're the next-gen greats. They're people were saying it was going to be Mbappe and Haaland, but maybe it's Vinicius Jr. If you're a very famous person, would you want Jr. at the end of your name? Like Neymar Jr.?
I don't know.
Like, if you've got to go on about your dad all the time.
Right. It's all about,
can't drop it. Yeah. You're junior. People look like implied is your dad. But then I suppose you've got to think about like women changing their name when they're married, then you're losing your name. I reckon by the time my kids grow up, that won't happen no more.
Right.
I'm going to advise against it strongly. Anyway, so there were two amazing goals. De Bruyne's goal was amazing. Vinicius' goal was amazing. I see Vinicius Jr. swapped his shirts with Edison at the end.
At the end.
Yeah, I had a good look at them. Mm,
Brazilians.
All right. I have a good look at them when they take their tops off. Do you?
Probably not as much as you do, but yes, I definitely do.
I have to keep my wife interested by objectifying the players.
She wasn't even there, was she?
She's left me, gal. It's the truth, because I objectify.
Keep my wife interested. Your wife was out at a yoga class.
My wife is now my penis. I'm a man who's married to his own reproductive organ and has to persuade it to be interested in Jack Grealish's Alice band. Hour after hour.
Grealish is a tough one because he does those thighs of his.
And he wears
He wears those little shorts, doesn't he? The calves and all that. Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
He knows exactly.
He's playing with me.
Game he's playing. Of course he does. He knows exactly what he's doing. Where's my phone? Because I've got some good things on my phone that I wanted to talk about. If you're a Sopranos fan, and I know you are, there was an episode where AJ got his eyebrows shaved off by some bully boys. We can find a still of that.
Yeah,
perhaps.
I remember that.
AJ's mates shaved, you know, that sort of fraternity type prank that you love so well in America, to shave off someone's eyebrows when they're drunk. Well, have a look at AJ when he had that done, and then have a look at Erling Haaland, and you will see a similarity. I'm not criticising Erling Haaland. He's a perfect person.
Other than his eyebrows. There's hardly any of them.
His brow is maybe pronounced enough anyway. He's very intense. What was his dad doing, throwing olives and peanuts at people?
He was celebrating, wasn't he?
He was celebrating through missiles. While continuing to talk about people's physical appearances, I want to say that I've noticed this week that a lot of managers have an assistant that looks like them.
Yes, they do.
Ten Hag has basically another Ten Hag.
Correct.
Klopp, Jurgen Klopp of Liverpool FC, Ten Hag of Manchester United. Klopp used to have another Klopp.
Yeah. He's got another one now.
Now he's got another. And is it another Klopp?
I know it's another Klopp. I noticed it the other day.
So that can't be coincidence,
no.
Can it? They keep employing. You know how they say people look like their dogs? People look like their assistants at top flight football.
Yeah.
They get someone that looks like other them. Like, I see Ten Hag looking, because obviously West Ham beat Manchester United with a goal that will surely end the career of David De Gea.
At United, maybe.
At United, yeah. Like, he won't, like, they, Manchester, like, you know, who now thinks that David De Gea will be at Man United next season? No one. No one in their right mind. And it's all because of Benrahma's sort of, like, it wasn't a strong kind of shot, was
fluffed
it?
Fluffed goal. Sort of fluffed,
sort of snuffly little shot. Like, sort of going past an outstretched and slightly pathetic hand. Let's have a look at that still. Yes, look, there's AJ with our AJ Soprano with our eyebrows. If you listen to this as a podcast, he looks, well, he looks like Erling Haaland. Yeah. That's what he looks like. There's a lot of face there. A lot of face could do with a bit more definition. Not that Haaland isn't beautiful and... I don't know.
No, well, we talked about his hair last week, didn't we?
And his penis.
We did talk about that.
We talked
also
about the hue, yeah, of the tip in considerable detail. I think some people followed up on that. We did talk a lot about the anatomies and bodies of players. Richarlison of now of Tottenham took his top off, revealing a sort of a dermatological mural on his back that included himself. Tom Braz was kind enough to send a post explaining it.
Oh, great.
At the bottom is a pic of him as a little boy in the Brazilian ghetto, or they call it barrios there. They've got a good name for it over there. He grew up in, looking up at his face next to two of the great footballing legends, Neymar and Ronaldo.
Oh, it's Ronaldo.
Actually quite, you know, I wondered, actually quite a moving tattoo if he'd not included his own face there. Yeah, that is the problem. Tattooing you on you. I mean, you might as well tattoo your face on your face at that point. It's like when Michael Jackson tattooed his own eyebrows on his eyebrows and tattooed his own lips on his lips. We're showing a picture now, for those of you watching this on Rumble, of that. Yeah, that don't look like Ronaldo, by the way.
No, that's why I got confused.
And him down there in the barrios, or, like, you know, City of Gold days there, still with a number nine shirt, looking towards his own future. What's that above his own future? I mean, that looks like a basketball above future Neymar. And then there's actual him. Like... his own back. Let me tell you about my life. It's a melancholy Fleetwood Mac song running up his own spine. There he is in the lumber, being a little boy. Mid-back, he's himself again between Neymar and apparently Ronaldo. Then right up at the top of the spine, he turns back into himself, Richarlison. Mm. So his spine is a journey into him. And that's before you even get to the vagus nerve. Well, God knows what that's telling you about. It's a complex and baffling tattoo that he's gone for. Also, some people said, Dumballer particularly, holy shit, you're fucking back. Again, don't know a thing about soccer and football. Spelt wrongly, spelled F-U-T-B-A-L. Oh, no. Oh, no. But for some reason, you two talking about it entertains me. Well, the reason we do it is because it takes us into a more relaxed manner of broadcasting, because we spend all our time talking about bringing down the government, deep state corruption, the corporatization of politics, how to defuse the culture war. And frankly, it's terrifying and exhausting. I mean, wait till you get a load of Friday's show with RFK. You're shown inside the establishment, stuff about the pandemic, so heavy that sometimes it's nice to just talk about football in a relaxed way. Mm. I mean, in a way, it's a selfish thing for us to do because we're actually paid to do this. And but you're also supposed to do things you're not meant to do. I've got some things I want to point out to you, Gareth, and I'd like your reaction to them.
Sure.
Why was the Bernabeu not sold out last night? I had that tour appalling across behind who won the goals. Is it not sold out?
Well, I guess
because their construction work
going
on.
It'll be that. Yeah.
That's for Real Madrid and Man City. Like, there's, I don't like it because if, like, as a stand-up comedian, if I see that when they black seats out at one of my gigs,
that's a big
I get upset.
For you. Yeah.
I won't do the gig. Yeah. I'll have a tantrum. I'll melt down. It turns out they're rebuilding the stadium. Why? We watched it on BT Sports. Great coverage from Rio and the gang, Jake et al, good commentators, good pundits. Why are they changing the name of BT Sports to TNT for?
No, I heard this as well.
It's confusing.
That was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I like that that's your point. Don't change the name.
Leave it.
Leave it as it is.
For some corporate reason. I suppose BT is British Telecom. That's confusing. Because in my mind, BT still means, like, well, when I was a boy... BT, British Telecom, because it was publicly owned and paid for by the public. Then they sold it back to the public for some money and then they didn't give it back to the public. It's this thing they did during when I was growing up. They went, we're going to sell your stuff and you can buy it, but it's already mine. I know. That's why this is so crazy. Anyway, give us your money. You can also buy your council house, but it's my house already. I know, but you got to buy it again already. When they sold us British Telecom back... it was Busby then. He was their mascot, their icon. He was a little bird. Phone calls are going cheap. I found him again in my attic. I gave him back to my kids. So I think of BT very much as that.
Right. Well, you found the little toy?
Yeah, Busby. He's lost his vest.
Oh.
That's gone. That's never coming back. Nor is his voice. You pull
you
a string.
Him.
Yeah, it was sad.
Have you
to
got
see
many
him
like little toys?
Yeah, I've kept a few things,
oh,
you know.
Is
some of the Sabutio players.
Sabutio. Is it all kind of evocative of, you know, positive memories? Or,
no.
Right.
It's Proustian, so, but it's negative Proust.
Yeah.
It's Proust with a difference. Proust famously says you can evoke things through smelling something, like you smell a little cake. Oh, my God, I've gone back in time.
Yeah.
That's what Proust says.
Right.
You smell Busby's belly. I don't like my stepdad.
Uh-oh.
I don't like my stepdad. You smell Busby's bottom. Why's my dog dead?
Yeah.
It was that sort of thing.
Did you keep those, like, I'm not going to call them trinkets.
Why?
Did you keep them so that you could tell your children sad stories?
My children
past
only want sad stories about my life.
Really?
They go, tell us that story again about how you didn't get on with your stepdad. Well, I didn't get on with my stepdad. Go on, go into it a bit more.
Where's the toy that goes with this story?
Okay, get the toy down from the attic. Get the sad smell evoking toy down from the attic. Now put on Fleetwood Mac. Let me tell you about my life. In fact, I've got a tattoo of Colin, my stepdad, in the mid-back area. Over here by the buttock is my dog getting hit by a bicycle being ridden by the gas man. Oh, there's the fire in the allotments. It's all there, up and down the old back.
Because you told me that thing when we were in LA together and I caught something that fell off a table and your kids were really impressed with it. Do you remember that thing? And then you said that they said to you something like, I'd be able to catch you or something.
It was so beautiful. One night at bedtime, they were making me retell another sad story of when I was sent away to school and my gerbil's cage got knocked off. Like, and I knew I was going to do it. It's one of those things where, that's why I try to pay attention to my intuition now. Because on that day, right, when I was 11, my intuition said to me, careful of this gerbil's cage, which is not even a proper gerbil's cage. It's an on its side rabbit arch filled with sawdust because I'd had a rabbit before, but I thought I could keep the gerbils in there just by turning it on its back and having the cage there.
It was of your design?
I'm behind this masterpiece, so
no.
I'm culpable. Of course
this was someone else's fault.
Of course, I'm only 11. Anyway, like, I perched it on the edge while I'm cleaning it out, and of course it fell. Now, Barney, who was the mother of the gerbils, because
yes,
I thought she was a boy when I got up, and then she had all these babies, she was crushed when the cage fell on top of
her.
Do
you mean emotionally?
Physically and emotionally. Physically through the midriff, and all the vital organs, sadly, were crushed, as were her emotions, presumably. I can't see how they could have independently remained buoyant under such difficult circumstances. Although some ways it's possible, because they say that they've done, this is a somewhat apocryphal, that they've done a study on lottery winners and people that had become paraplegic as a result of an accident in life. And the lottery winners that was miserable fuckers stayed miserable.
Stayed miserable.
And the lottery winners that, like, were happy, they were, oh, this is great, I can buy whatever I want. Same with paraplegics. The paraplegics that have been miserable fuckers, oh, this is hell, obviously. And the ones that are upbeat, like, oh, it could have been worse.
Yeah, you come back to your level of happiness, apparently.
Unless you go on a spiritual voyage and cultivate your inner self and find a deep connection with
they
God.
They didn't mention
yes
that in the news segment.
Of course not.
Watched.
There wasn't time for that. Anyway, like, so when I told my children that, because they're always mining me for sad, sad stories.
Yeah.
I told them already about the terrible death of the gerbil. Several gerbils died. In my mind, it's like a film. You know, in a scene in a film,
yeah,
like, it could be Platoon. It could be a Terrence Malick film. It's one of those films. And then it plays that sort of music. And everything's all slow motion. Yeah. Around, think of the beach
shots
scene
of nature and stuff.
No, it's a massacre on a beach.
Got
Normandy.
All right.
A death, and they're looking around in the devastation, like, you know, say there's, or there's an explosion, it goes all white.
Yes.
And then you're sort of looking around, it's all slow motion now, and they're looking around for everything. This gerbil story is like that,
right,
in my mind. Anyway, I having told them this story for the umpteenth time, because not because I want to tell it, because they love it, they keep making me tell it, like, I don't know why, they're trying to help me process it, I think.
Yeah.
They went, it's a shame you weren't friends with Gareth then, because Gareth could have caught that gerbil cage, because they'd seen Gareth catch a bowl that someone knocked over at a meal that we were at, and Gareth went, whoop, like that, and caught it very quick, very impressive, and the kids were like, that's good, Gareth done that. They clocked it and they remembered it. Anyway, they thought that it's a shame, they thought, that you weren't there back at my boarding school when I was 11 to catch that gerbil cage. And I was like, yeah, in a
it
way, kids. As in a way, Gareth does do that job in a way, because my blunders that could potentially lead to travesty and problems are often caught by Gareth. Like, whoa, don't say it. Whoa, whoa. Maybe not that. Maybe not that.
Yeah.
Nose. Like
we'd also
that
have saved the lives of many innocent gerbils, wouldn't we? Well, wouldn't I? Actually.
Think of the ongoing, in a Schindler's List way, like, think of all the descendants of those gerbils that would have been saved.
Yeah.
Had
I been there,
you could have been the Oscar Schindler, but of gerbils.
I've always wanted to be that. What would we have been mates when we were young? I mean, you'd have been a few years ahead of me, so it would have been interesting.
Puffing about. Right there, little fella. I appreciate you catching the gerbils. It was very decent of you. Now, let me tell you a thing about lady life. She's a cruel mistress, anyway. Do you want to have a look at these porn mags and have some popping candy?
Sorry, I've got to do French horn practice.
Get back here. Let's go on a crazy journey together.
Wait a minute.
Wow.
During the commentary for Real Madrid versus Man City, Steve McManaman said this. Oh, no, my phone's actually writing down everything I'm saying, because when I did it, stop. It's like so mental to see that. That was like being spied on in real time. That was like Five Eyes stuff. It was saying everything I was saying.
That is what's happening right now.
Right. So Steve McManaman, formerly of Liverpool and, of course, Real Madrid, like when there was like a penalty claim at one point in the game, said, "Oh, it's getting ridiculous. Everyone wants a penalty for everything now. Everyone wants a penalty for everything. I want a penalty for that. I want a penalty for that." And it's everyone doing it. It's not that bad, Steve.
No.
It's not everyone wants a penalty. That's as extreme as it could be.
Yeah.
You can't act. That's hyperbole. Yeah. You can't go beyond that. No. Everyone wants. You could say some people want a penalty for it. No. Everyone wants a penalty for everything.
Everything.
Now. Whoa. That's too much. I can't deal with that level of people wanting penalties.
He was on the side of City, I guess, wasn't he? Because Madrid were doing the kind of usual Madrid thing of trying to get fouls and all this kind of stuff and shoving Man City players.
Would he not maintain an affinity?
You would have thought so, but I guess, you know, he's a proper pundit, isn't he?
If you know a lot about football, right, or even just are culturally interested in football, here are some things that you oddly will know. Daniel Levy. Oh, they're going to have to negotiate. with Daniel Levy.
He's a tough one. He doesn't give anything away, Levy.
Why do you know that?
Yeah.
Like, why does everyone know? It's like he can't be mentioned.
Yes.
It's like if someone mentions kilts,
right,
you have to go, oh, did you wear underpants under them? Or did you do it? That's what you have to say, right?
Yeah.
It's like those two things live together. Someone mentions Daniel Levy.
That's true.
He won't let Kane go to Man United. No. He's a tough negotiator, Daniel Levy. Is he what? Especially and particularly and beyond other people so much, though, that it cannot not be mentioned every time. Like it's a song. Like there's a button on your perineum that's pressed every time Daniel Levy's name is mentioned. Daniel Levy, chairman of Tottenham Hotspur. I'm actually going to see...
It's true, because I've never negotiated with Daniel Levy, ever.
The only thing I know is when he's on that documentary, he seems nice.
Yeah, that's never happened in my life. And yet, as you say, if you mention Daniel Levy, that's the first thing I will do.
Good luck! All right, are we going to split this bill then, Daniel? You know, it's like as if every one of us has had the experience of Daniel Levy going, "I never had none of the garlic bread. You drank that red wine, only I had tap water."
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like that Daniel Levy is going to negotiate with you about everything all the time. Although Harry Kane is 50 years old and he's there now
and
got his dream move. He's trying to win. They're having to make a statue of him just so he wins something. And now you've won this. It's you, but just made out of metal. Oh, does anyone else care? Nope. No one cares.
I'd
and if you ever do anything else,
could
I go to Man City and win things with the others? Nope. You're staying here to look at metal you. You've got metal you now. Metal you should cheer you up. That's one thing. The other thing is Stockley Park.
Yes.
Stockley Park. That one's going to Stockley Park. Listen, Stockley Park. Don't. Stockley Park is because of VAR, video assistant referee. Is that what it is? Like now they replay things like American sports have always done. And like they were saying should happen for ages and ages. Now they do that, right? Like they replay things and then it's like nitpickery video. Generally, I don't like VAR.
Right.
That's my general position of it.
I see.
Because in my mind, it belongs with technological encroachment on human capacity. That's where I place it. Of course, that opinion would alter if VAR would have helped West Ham in some way. But often VAR hasn't helped West Ham. Like, for example, earlier this season, there was a goal against Chelsea that Jarrod Bowen got and they didn't use VAR. It should have been. Anyway, so it seems what I remember more is the times it goes against me. than the times it goes for
you. Yeah, it's that standard, isn't it?
It's adjudicated from Stockley Park.
You are right, the way that people talk about that. No one even knows where that is. Well, I'm sure some people do, but the rest of us don't.
I bet it's near Isleworth.
Yeah, where I kind
Sky,
of think that.
Where Sky, it's like one of those M25 unplaces.
But yes.
There's a road that loops London, and it's sort of corralled within it are unspaces and untowns. The place that I'm from, Grays, is sort of like a tassel on the M25, like a nipple tassel around the areolae. Of the M25, yeah, that's how I see reality, think. Yeah. So Stockley Park, people say, oh, we're going to have to see what... You know, Stockley Park, it's just become...
Yeah.
Oh, it's a synecdoche, that's what it is. Stockley Park now means it's become linguistically emblematic of what... of the adjudication of tech, like a synecdoche, like the White House. It's West London near Hillingdon.
Right.
Hillingdon Life Sciences. That's all we know about Hillingdon. That's where they experiment on
that's
cats.
True.
So they put soap in their eyes.
Yeah, never get the two mixed up.
Never go, right, okay.
Is it a penalty or not? I don't know. I'm having trouble with a tail.
Surely that was offside. I don't know. It smells delicious, but this rabbit just shat a load of blood. What? Was that offside? No, only from L'Oreal. Yeah, Hillingdon and Stockley Park have got to make sure that they don't ever cross jurisdictions like the streams in Ghostbusters. Otherwise, it's in a business park. Jamie, the producer of the show, is telling us. Yeah, of course it is. It's in an unspace.
Imagine, the reason why they... make so many bad decisions because they bloody hate being there for a start. Must
They're
be
there.
Awful.
It's so grim. There's no character. If you look at architecture, I don't want to be all in my day about it, but if you, because it ain't my day, but if you look at a municipal building from like Victorian England, it's beautiful. Like the masonry, like that. It's like people loved communities. They loved society. They were proud to participate in their culture. And buildings were an expression of the community, an expression of love. Now, everything's just like a sort of a dropped glum box or a sarcastic piss take like the Guggenheim. Oh, this is what a building could be. Well, it's all wobbly. Like, no one gives a shit anymore. I don't have any values. Ah, I'm old. I'm officially old. I can't get an erection. I actually can. That's part of the problem. It's just there's no need to. All right, we've got a whole bunch of content on Football Is Nice. We've got your comments, of course, and thank you so much for your contributions. At the end, we're going to be doing our predictions. There's a relegation battle. My club, West Ham, we're safe now after beating Man United and ending the career of De Gea. You did tell us. In a shocking result, Everton beat Brighton 5-1. Astonishing. In pink shirts on top of that. That's surprising. Fulham beat Leicester, condemning Leicester to the championship, and meaning there'll be a bonanza fire sale at Leicester with players like Tielemann and Maddison and maybe Vardy. Vardy's days.
I think it'll probably
song in the championship.
Henry Barnes, he's the
Harvey Barnes.
Harvey Barnes, sorry.
Is he one of the plum picking the left?
I think he's a great player.
Yeah? Mm,
yeah.
Who's getting all of these people?
I don't know. It'll I mean, a couple of them will go to West Ham, certainly.
Leicester fans won't like that. Think Forest might stay up because they beat James's club, Southampton.
It's so
4-3.
Tight. I've no idea.
I want Forest to stay up.
Do you think Leicester are down, do you?
No, it's impossible to tell on a points decision because it's changing. What I'm happy about is it like West Ham's last games aren't going to be as significant as I thought I would. They were like, you know, like if you we've got the fixtures up here and it's like it's proper maths. Yeah. Hold on a minute, if they beat that. But football does that. This is what I'm holding out for. Everton beating Man City. That would be amazing.
It would be amazing.
Yeah.
For the title race,
because then like Arsenal have only got a point to make up, then it's possible. It's possible. They're not going to do it in goal difference. Essentially, City have to lose one and draw one, and Arsenal have to win everything. Right. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that going to happen? Well, maybe, but like that's not like last night the Bernabeu's going to have to take them off track, is it? It's not going to actually take them off track.
No, if anything, I think it will give them confidence. I mean, there was a period in that game where Madrid were all over City. I mean, they'd gone 1-0 up because Man City started well, didn't they?
Yeah.
But then Madrid scored. Madrid were dominant, I thought they were going to get another one. Man City getting back into that game, you've got to think it's just going to give them confidence.
BR60 attacked me, right, because I was sort of criticising both Wrexham and Man City and all that stuff.
Right.
He said, Brand, I always know I'm in for a drubbing when someone calls me Brand, you know?
Yeah.
Brand, putting success down to money shows his ignorance. That's where he starts.
Okay.
He's just starting that. It's actually quite a well-written attack. This is the theme of the attack.
Okay.
My That's ignorance. But it's not, because year after year,
yeah,
you can go, this is their wage bill, this is their position. There's normally a correlation.
Yeah, the only anomaly this season is Chelsea. Everything.
Chelsea's an anomaly. Are Brighton an anomaly in the other direction?
Certainly they are. Yeah, but there are more cases for teams who haven't spent as much doing well than there are teams who've spent a lot of money doing badly, I would suggest.
When that happens, it's disgusting and mental, isn't it? Like, what happens at Chelsea is mad.
Insane.
Like, there's so many like good players there, you can't even really remember it. Hold on a minute, doesn't Kai Havertz play? Wait a minute, what's going on? Where's Aubameyang?
Yeah.
One of my favourite names to say in the world, Aubameyang. Because you get to say Obama, and you think, well, that was enjoyable. And then Yang, right at the end.
They played Jorginho, didn't they? And everyone was...
Everyone says that was a master stroke.
But look at, like, another one. Chelsea just got rid of him.
He's no good. Get rid of him.
7 million quid off to Arsenal. Oh, he's brilliant.
Go on, say your thing. You like saying about Chelsea.
No, it's this thing. It's amazing that when they haven't got a striker, and then you look, Tammy Abraham, who they just discarded. They're like, oh, we don't have any place for Tammy Abraham.
Get him out of here.
Doing brilliantly at Roma. It's madness. Giroud gone to Milan.
Get him out of
million
here.
Quid. He's in the Champions League semi-final. It's crazy.
Because what Chelsea are, and forgive me if you're a Chelsea fan, because I've obviously got friends that are fans of every club there is. But, and so I think of my friend Parker, who loves Chelsea. I've got my mate, what's that, mate? Little Liam, he's a Chelsea fan. My Uncle Rick, Chelsea fan. I know lots of Chelsea fans. But this is what they are. Superficial. Glory hunters without souls. Right? Yeah. Right? Because, we're a Chelsea fan. Like, they've corralled together these Russian purchase spoils, haven't they?
Yep.
And they're out of touch with reality, aren't they?
I think so.
And if they went down, like, they can't go down, but, like, it's just such a mad experiment. And that Todd Boehly, or whatever he's called, who's bought Chelsea, and the American fella, no disrespect, who's bought them off the Russian, he looks like Luke Skywalker when he's old. He looks like old Luke Skywalker. When Luke Skywalker's on an island and it's gone wrong, Todd Boehly, there's a comparison to it. Like, when Luke Skywalker's lost his dignity and he's on an island and he's forgotten everything he ever stood for, that's what Todd Boehly, if that's indeed the correct way to say his name. Anyway, Brand shows his ignorance. Man United have spent $1.5 billion and been nowhere near the league title for 10 years. Yeah, but they've been extracting money and the infrastructure of the club is terrible. Look at the state of Chelsea and God knows what they've spent. And Man City are actually 10th place in transfer spending league table after the last 5 years. But isn't that because of the good business they've done on the way out?
Yeah. Look, okay. Last, what, years?
There's Todd Boehly. Yeah. Put him next to Mark Hamill. All old Luke Skywalker. I tell you, even not next to, you can do it sequentially and people can do it in their old time. Like, they look the same, if you ask me. Go on.
The
what
way that
down?
City have built since the Sheikh money came in, you can't discount that. That's absolutely crazy talk to do that. I understand what they're saying about Man United, but they've been badly managed. It's not to say there aren't other criteria.
I think Man City, every day, like, fair play. There's no financial fair play. Unless every time Man City buy a player for themselves, they've got to buy a player for someone else.
For someone else. But I don't understand this system of yours.
Financial fair play, that's where you're only meant to spend a certain amount of money within a certain calendar or tax. I don't even understand it. There he is. Look, see, Todd Boehly. That's what he looks like. Todd Boehly, Mark Hamill, Todd Boehly, Mark Hamill. You could actually have Mark Hamill. Don't you sort of, with people you don't know well enough, sort of put them in a category box with other people?
Definitely.
Like, people could do it if you and David... De Gea, couldn't they?
People
easily.
Say that all the time.
People do it to me with maybe... Oh, is that geezer from the Eurovision? Yeah, nicking my look. That's nicking my look!
Wow, it really is.
Actually, I'm nicking his look because I watched that yesterday and now I'm wearing that shirt. If you have a look at what he was wearing, I'm nicking his look. But he's nicked a lot of my look, that Eurovision geezer. I remember
Stay
last
free
year...
with geezer from Eurovision.
Moldova's entry. And do you remember a few years back, it was a trans person. I don't know in which direction, but it was a trans person that looked like me that had a beard. So I feel like trans woman?
Think so, yeah.
She won once, I think. Yeah, she won, and she looked like me. And now this man looks like me, and I've actually fallen into the trap of wearing his garments. If you look at those things, can't dive too heavily into the visual. Conchita Wurst, that was the lady that won.
Yeah,
that looked like me.
Are you saying that Eurovision contest entries are taking inspiration from you? Or?
Yeah,
yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Is it's backed by my mojo. It's backed by my stuff. We asked you about your superstitions. We're going to talk about your. I mean, come on, that's uncanny. We're going to talk about. Your superstitions, and we're going to do our predictions, And we're going to look at some lovely moments of old school managers. Yes, the world is progressing. We've gone through the phase of swarthy, handsome managers from Latin America and from the continent, making the game sexier, besuited, wearing earpieces, although that was your very own Phil Brown. But are we in a retro moment? When managers like Neil Warnock are guiding Huddersfield to safety, when Big Sam is back at Leeds, when Roy Hodgson, who I actually don't know how old Roy, I don't know if there's a number for how old there Roy isn't. Hodgson is. Like, we're out of numbers for the age of Roy. And, like, he's back. And have a look at this side of Roy Hodgson. Now, if you're an aficionado of the English national game, Roy Hodgson, former Liverpool and England manager, as long as a variety of clubs, he's only 75, he's not that old, really. He's known as a very gentle, sweet figure. Mm. Check out this. Have you seen this yet, Gareth?
No.
Look at Roy Hodgson in this interview. He shows that, like, you know, because if you've got to manage like 20 odd geezers, you have to have some balls on you. Well, here are Roy Hodgson's. Have a look at this.
Roy, satisfying day at the office for you?
Yeah, it's very. I thought we played very well. We were rocked back by yet another decision, which I find hard to accept. But luckily,
which one
do you think?
I'm asking you.
No, well, I'll leave it then. If you're going to be tricky like that, I won't even bother to, you know, carry on. Shall we? Let's stop it here, shall we? I mean, you're going to be tricky with your questions.
We're being tricky. You don't like it.
No, I'm genuinely.
Well, let's start again. Which one? Well, how many were there? Only had two shots at goal. One was a penalty, and one was a strike at goal our goalkeeper saved. So, what decision are we talking about?
Okay.
So let's not take the piss here.
I certainly wasn't.
Well, I think you are. But there you are.
I wasn't.
Well, we start again, shall we? Or else you can use that if you want.
No, I don't think they'll want that.
Start again.
It was a genuine question.
Well, I won't mention it then. You know, there wasn't a fucking penalty in the game. There wasn't one of those ridiculous situations.
I am not often
heard him swear.
Roy Hodgson swearing.
Never.
I that actually genuinely shocked me.
Yeah.
It was amazing, wasn't it, to see that?
Terrified by it.
Fucking show. You said there's another side to people.
Yeah.
All the rest of the time, Roy Hodgson's actually just pretending to be nice.
He is. He's pretending to be nice.
He's actually fucking furious.
I reckon he's like that with the players. Listen, there must be moments where he unleashes that on.
Come back to Palace for this swan song. You better not fuck me about, you lady boy, you fucking little pretty dicks. I'll fucking kick your nuts in. I'll kick your balls up to the fucking roof of your mouth, you fucking little cunt. All right, Roy, bloody hell. Thought you were all old and harmless. Yeah, you fought wrong, son. You get a fucking elbow and a fucking bridge of your nose before you're much fucking older, you old cunt. There's also a bit like of old schoolery around it, like the way he started to move and everything.
It's like the craze or something.
It was like the craze, because I remember Matt Lucas once saying that with Cockney accents, they go to a point where they, like accents like that. Mm. He goes, if you go Cockney enough, it actually starts sounding rather nice, like Danny the drug dealer from With Now and I, and now Roy Hodgson, who's actually listening to you. And like, when you add to that, when you take away all of the sort of soft gentleness of his period as England manager and add this sort of Guy Ritchie streak, it's most enjoyable.
Yeah. I wonder when you're like the interviewer in that scenario.
Is it Adrian Durham or Sam Matface?
I was trying to work out who it was. But you, I wonder whether, because there's a certain amount of that, that you know, if you ask a question like that and it gets a reaction from a manager, that bit will make it onto Match of the Day or whatever it is. There's got to be a part of you that's been provocative on purpose. But also when you get that kind of reaction, maybe you also regret it.
I think that's wrong to get that, like to do that to Roy Hodgson. I like it a lot. Like, I'm broadly, and not turned on is the wrong phrase, but it's a bit like that.
Yes.
I like it that that's happened.
I think it is exactly startled.
It's just simply it is that. Yeah. It's not, though, that I want to carry that into physical acts with Roy.
With Roy.
I daren't. Yeah, I'm too intimidated. Yeah. But, like, I like it that that's happened. That's just at the end, because he says in there. Oh, yeah, it's lovely, the end. It's a good payoff.
...in the game. That didn't happen. So let's just talk about our performance.
Roy, a satisfying day at the office?
Yeah, I thought we played very well.
So cool. I love him. That's made me love him more. Oh, God, thank that. And thank God for Roy Hodgson. Let's have a look at, like, this is Neil Warnock. You'll enjoy this as well. This is a classic.
Oh, this is brilliant.
Warnock, is this a Yorkshire accent from
I think so.
Warnock? Like, he's dressing down the Sheffield United team, the Blades, after a poor performance, but in the end it gets a little too personal. Let's have a look.
Might not be your fault, lads, eh? I'll just have to make sure it doesn't fucking happen again, because I tell you now, I'm fucking more determined than ever. I look at you now. I'll have a chat with all of you next week before you start flying off to fucking Mallorca and all these other places, eh? We'll have a chat about the fucking game, about your game, last few months, last few weeks. Fucking character. Fucking hell. And I look at your contribution, some of you. No wonder he's throwing fucking bottle at fucking Flo, Tonga.
Isn't it? That is so fucking bottle at fucking Flo. Like, that's from another era, that kind of talking. And he might as well be saying thou and thee and stuff like that, because that's not how people talk anymore.
No.
And I actually feel quite sentimental about that, because after this wave of managers, you're not getting that anymore. Mm. Like, a British manager now is Eddie Howe, who's like gentle and in touch and sort of successful.
Well, is it that, or do we? I mean, there must
we're not
be.
Allowed to see it.
You know that there's, because this is a big thing, isn't there, about managers now who can put their arms around the players. But it's like, you've got to have that ability to do both. Put your arms around the players, which didn't used to happen in Warnock's day, but also be able to discipline them as well. And like, there's both sides to it. You saw with the Man City thing the other day, like, Pep was furious that Haaland didn't take the penalty, wasn't he? That Gundogan took the penalty and missed it, and then they went 2-1 down. So I guess, I know what you're saying, but I reckon maybe there has to be like two sides to football managers now. You've got to be able to do both things.
Is it a bit like Jordan Peterson's edict that you should make yourself a monster and then control it? That
right.
They have to know that there is an element to you that can handle yourself. Mm. Otherwise, the argument can be made morally that it isn't kindness at all. Mm. It's just a lack of choices. That's your only social strategy, is to be pleasant. If like beneath that kindness is Roy Hodgson, listen here, you fucking little prick. I'll step on your feet so it's black and blue, son. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Oh my God, that's actually Roy's being nice to me through choice.
Yeah. This is why you get those moments with Roy Keane now, when and he, you know, talks about players as being like prima donnas and things, because you know Roy Keane went through Ferguson. And imagine, like, I mean, Ferguson will have been equally as mad as that, you know, or as tyrannical as that.
And it's backed by, I mean, Neil Warnock, with all due respect, he's obviously successful, but like, if you sort of turbocharge that with actual mammoth, unprecedented success. And power.
Yeah.
But it's having that directed, that's more rage than you can handle.
Yes.
Isn't it? Celtic have won the Scottish Prem, somewhat predictably.
Yep.
But closer to home, or at least my home, my friend Brian McDermott has become director of football at Hibs. I'm so excited about that.
Yeah, brilliant.
That means we'll be able to go Hibs games.
That'd be great.
Go Easter Road, watch Hibs. It's going to be exciting.
Love that.
Yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to it.
What do you think he was like as a manager? Do you reckon he's got a bit of Warnock to
Brian McDee?
Mm.
I think he's got to have, because I think that's what it drags out of you a little bit. Look, I've been invited to participate in a five-a-side game.
No, I heard about
it. I'm scared about it.
I heard rumours. This was on a text message group that we've got.
Do you think it's going to be good for me? What am I going to do? Just go. Don't take it too seriously. Don't take life too seriously.
What is this thing? Tell us about it.
Some of the people that are my mates in recovery
are
playing five-a-side matches. One of them pitches where you can hire a pitch.
Yeah.
And it's like 5 to 7-a-side. I've always had, and I can even feel it talking about it now, a sort of a mental block, like the opposite of a rosebud block about football, about playing football. I love football very much, but it's ego. It's because of doing something I'm not good at.
Sure. Yeah.
I like to only do things where I feel like...
Play at the back. That is my...
Play at the back. Go deep.
Play at the back.
Play at the back.
5 or 7-a-side playing at the back, you can bluff. You can bluff your... No, because all you do is you make sure you're just going for every challenge.
For every challenge. Right. But what about a big costly blunder? What about a costly blunder? Someone's come one-on-one.
You'll be all right.
Apparently, there's some rules. My mate Joe, who's organising it, Joe's a bit tasty, amateur boxer, good lad. Like, Joe, he says... There's no 50-50s, no high balls.
There
you go. It's going to be okay.
You'll be fine.
It's not like I'm scared of being beat up, although why not?
What kind of shape are these guys in?
Some of them I'm fitter than.
Well, there you go.
Like, you know, some of them are well fit. But like, it's just, I don't know. Also, do you know what it is? It's sincerity as well. It's almost like it's being in a social dynamic that strips me of my skill set. Like the layers of irony and wit and things that like, you know, like sort of... Yeah, like, you know, man on, you're like, it's like, I've got to drop into a different meter of myself. But I think it might be more therapeutically valuable than like, you know, you always think about, should I do an ayahuasca retreat? Should I do a 10-day silent retreat? Should I just do Ram Dass meditations for 8 hours? Probably have more effect on my psyche and my...
I think you'll love it. I think you'll love it. It's a great, great feeling. I haven't played for a few years, but it's an amazing feeling. Like, and you get that kind of camaraderie, which, you know...
Do you think I might cry?
I think you'll have a great time. I encourage it. I'll come along.
Will you?
To watch, yeah.
Watch! Oh my God, why don't you film it? Why don't you put it on the internet, for God's sake? I'm under enough pressure. I'm sweating about it. I've got to do it. I've got to go. You've got to face the demon. You've got to face the fear and do it anyway. Yep. You've got to learn how to fly, haven't you?
Yeah, it's not, at least it's not one of those charity celebrity football games that you've been invited to.
Well, I was manager with Harry Redknapp at one of them because I didn't want to play with that lad Ralph, who's always does
he
it.
He didn't need an assistant manager.
Didn't need an assistant manager. And if Harry Redknapp done there what he was doing at Tottenham, West Ham and the South Coast clubs, like, it didn't do any managing. I thought there was going to be some like actual managing.
Right.
More or less just put a couple of bets on. Took a few bungs. I'm only mucking about. Love Harry Redknapp. Who doesn't love Harry Redknapp? One of the kings of the game. All right, let's just do these predictions. Right, Gareth. They're going to have to be quick because we've got to wrap it up now. We've got to do another show that part of our livelihood. All right. Leeds versus Newcastle. You always make me go first, don't you?
Sure.
All right, I'm going to say away win 2-1. What are you saying?
3-1.
3-1 away win. Yep. Southampton versus Fulham. I'm going to say away win 2-0. What are you saying?
1-0 Fulham then.
Oh, you're going 1-0 Fulham. All right. Chelsea v Forest. I think Chelsea Forest. I think Forest might nick it with a goal. 1-0 to Forest.
Blimey, I'll take a draw. 1-1 then.
1-1 draw. Villa v Spurs.
Oh, massive game. I think current form, Villa's got to win it. So for me, Villa 2-1.
You're going for a 2-1 home win. Maybe my loathing for Tottenham will make them win 1-0 away. Mm. United v Wolves. I think United will sort their shit out.
Yeah, I think they will.
Win 2-0. I'm always predicting 2-0. I'm like an idiot. 2-0 generator. But football's not like that. What are you saying?
1-0 United then.
All right. And Crystal Palace v Bournemouth. Roy's going to terrify him to victory. Okay. I'm saying it's going to be 4-1.
I'll say 0-0.
Oh, you bore. That better not win. You're better at this than me. Everton VC. I'm right. This is where I make my bones. This is where I earn my crust.
Yes.
This is where I pull my skin back. Everton win 2-1.
Wow.
Yeah?
Not a chance, but I like your style.
Do you like it?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, go on. What are you saying?
Man City 4-1.
4-1. Okay. And Arsenal v Brighton.
I think Arsenal win to stay in it. So I'm going to say a close one. 2-1 Arsenal.
2-1 Arsenal. I hope that Arsenal win. But imagine I just put down wrong scores for you out of spite. But you'd remember, wouldn't you? All right. Arsenal 3-0. Brentford v West Ham. You know, I never ever predict that West Ham will lose ever. It's just not something I would do. I'm going to say that we're going to win 1-0.
Leicester 1-1 for that.
You're going 1-1, you snide. No. Leicester v Liverpool, away win 3-2.
I think Leicester are going to get some out of this.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I'm going to say a draw. I'm going to say a 2-2 draw.
2-2 draw. All right, so let's keep these sacred things. Got a steal of it in case we lose it, and we'll right. And why don't you play along with your gambling? No, always gamble responsibly. Always gamble responsibly. Do gamble though, because all of the funding of the Avatar comes from it. So, but do gamble responsibly.
You fucking better gamble responsibly. What you fucking try to play games? You try to be tricky. You're being tricky with me, you fucking prick. I'll pull your fucking ball bag tight. I'll stick a fucking biro through it. Then how are you gonna feel? I'll stake it down the floor with a big pen. How about that? Then you won't be so bloody clever, will you?
I like this.
Yeah, I know you
do. I could live in that.
I'm worried about our next show.
Oh, no, I've got to do another show. People are like, well, what's that voice he's doing? That's not relevant around this sensitive trial issue. All right, thanks very much. Football is nice.
It certainly is.
Join us next week for Football is Nice.